What's up, y'all?
My future isn't determined by where I currently reside. Understanding your worth will put pride in your stride. I'm accountable to my call. There's no compromise. I set my own bar, and you better know it's set high.
It's giving what it's supposed to give. Ooh, stop playing with them.
What's up, y'all? It's your girl, Deshari. Welcome back to another episode of It's a Perspective, a show dedicated to uncovering different perspectives through dope conversation. Today, we have a special guest. He has helped nearly 500 people generate income from content creation. He coined himself the Interview King, as he is the host of Black is the New Rich, which we will definitely talk about a little bit later. He's an all-around creator, as he got his start in nude photography and has grown from there. He strategizes, shoots, and edits content. He is building in all aspects, with his ultimate goal being to help 100 people become millionaires. I'm excited to delve more into his perspective. Please welcome Corey Cash. Hey, what's up?
Wow. Well, thank you for that introduction. That was amazing. I could already tell you did your research. And,
got to do that. I'm excited to inquire your perspective today on so many different things. Some of the things that I listed in your intro, but definitely getting into your content creation for sure. So let's go ahead and start it off with That's My Jam. This is a segment of the show where you can play your mantra or a song you can't resist jamming, dancing, or singing to. So what you got for us?
So my mantra will be Nipsey Hussle, Bigger Than Life. That song took me through a lot of dark times and helped me transition to where I'm at today.
All right, so let's get into it.
I don't want your love. That's not why I make music. I owe myself. I told myself back then that I would do this. And I always look so out of reach and just seem so confusing. That I found my place in life, a young black man that seems so useless. And I don't want no help. Just let me suffer through this. The world would not know Jesus Christ if there was never Judas. This knife that's in my...
Okay. I see. So tell me a little bit more why you chose it as your jam today.
To be honest, just because I made big transitions in my life when it comes to a lot of things, and I just feel like that song took me through a lot of times to, like, you know, change my life around, because I was into some other stuff in life, and I got up out of that bad stuff, and now I'm here just living a legal life.
Okay, that's interesting. I want to know more about what you mean about getting into this legal stuff. But before we do that, if y'all haven't heard this song, Bigger Than Life by Nipsey Hussle, definitely go check it out. He said it's very much so given the lyrics that you need to hear, right?
Mm-hmm, 100%.
All right. So yeah, do that for sure. So let's get into it. First, before we get into what you mean by the legal side of things, who is Corey Cash?
That's a great question. Honestly, I am a truth seeker. That's how I explain myself.
Okay.
And honestly, I feel like I've worn so many hats since college. A lot of people knew me. I used to hoop back in the day. And then when I was hooping, I was finishing college. And then when you come out of college, you're like, you're a broke student, right?
Oh, yeah.
And I was tired of being broke. So I just went to the fast life, went to the streets and did a couple things. And lived that for like 4 or 5 years. And like I said, that Nipsey song just kept me grounded and wanted me to, like, I felt like I had to change my life. And that song took me through to the next stage.
Okay. That's what's up, a truth seeker. So what truth are you seeking?
Just within myself and what life is about and my purpose on this earth.
Okay, that's what's up. Okay, so let's go back a little bit, because you said you were, in other words, in the streets.
Yes.
Okay, yes. But I wanna go back. I don't know if this is before or after, but being a nude photographer, what made you get into that field?
Oh, man. So this is while I was doing my stuff in the streets. And, you know, I was probably about like 27 at the time. And I'm like, you know what, Corey, like, what are you doing in your life? At the end of the day, yeah, money's good, but I just felt like I lacked purpose and I lacked skill in a lot of areas, even though, like, you know, I went to college and stuff like that.
Okay.
So I picked up a camera because I always enjoyed photography throughout my whole life. And I always said, you know what, I could do that. But I never picked up a camera. So I just decided to pick up a camera. And then one of my homegirls at the time were like, hey, you know, you always show me these different photographers that shoot nude. Why don't you just try it out? And I'm like, I bet. So I'm gonna get a camera. But like, how do I reach out to people about this? Because they're going to be like, I don't know. I felt like a creepy thing at the time. And she's like, okay, you know what? You shoot me. And I was like, interesting. I bet. So then I shot her. And then my first shoot, I put it on Instagram and it got a lot of love. And then just my Instagram and shooting career in nude took off from there.
Wow. So it wasn't any uncomfortability in the beginning?
No, not for me. Just only because I shot a lot of my friends and, I could see how they're people. That's the perception, but it takes a certain type of, person, in my opinion, to shoot nude photography. And because I'm not creepy or I'm not in it for that reason, I think it made my transition a lot smoother.
Okay. So simultaneously, you say you were in the streets. Take us through that and how. Okay, well, let's go back a little bit more, because there had to be a journey before you got to nude photography, before you got to the streets. You said you played ball. So take us back a little bit before then and take us through your journey.
For sure. So I guess I picked up a ball around like 9 years old. And obviously when I was a young child, everyone's dream is to make the NBA. Right. Yeah. So I put a lot of hours in elementary school and high school, and I was a star basketball player in high school. And I think in grade 11, I realized, okay, this NBA thing is definitely not me. And I'm from Canada, Toronto, Canada. So at that time, there wasn't a lot of exposure. So then my hoop dreams were essentially deflated, and I went to a local college and never really was happy with basketball after I realized, like, you know, NBA wasn't a thing. Mm. And so all I knew was basketball. And as you might know, if you have athletic friends, sometimes our life is limited because we only know one thing. And I was tired of just knowing about sports. I don't want to be that person that's just known to play basketball. I want to know other things. I want to travel. I want to talk to different types of people. I want different types of conversation. So that just broadened my curiosity to try new things. And that's why I just picked up a camera.
Wow. That's what's up. Getting to broaden your horizons. Like you said, you do kind of, whenever you meet people who play sports, that becomes their identity. And then after that, they kind of don't know what to do, and they're kind of stuck in a way. So I'm glad that you found your way out of that and now have become, for lack of better words, a content creator, which is a totally different field than nude photography. And I want to figure out how you got into that with growing your platform to nearly 60,000 followers.
Okay, so I'll be honest with you. The 60,000 followers, that came from the nude photography.
Okay.
And then I switched it up over the pandemic because I couldn't shoot anymore. And before the content creating, the podcast came first.
Okay.
Because the Black is New Rich podcast came because George Floyd's death, that really struck my last nerve with things. And I felt like, for me personally, I'm not the person to go in the street and march up and down. So I was like, you know what, how can I impact the community and still gain knowledge for myself, right? And broaden my horizon, like I was talking about earlier. Mm-hmm. So I said, a way to start a podcast where I can interview like financial experts and learn for free, essentially, and give that information back to the community. So I thought that was a win-win. So I started doing that, and that started to, like, you know, it's starting right now to catch wind and get bigger and what have you. And then I freed up my time a lot because now I have a complete system with Black is New Rich. So then I'm like, you know what? I still want to create content for other people because I know how this social media thing kind of works, especially with entrepreneurs. And I believe I can add value to whatever they got going on. So this content creation came from, it actually just started recently again, to be honest.
Okay. That's what's up. So you said George Floyd.
Yes.
Before that, when there were a lot of different cases of, you know, police brutality or, you know, Black people being killed for unjust reasons. How did that make you feel? Why was George Floyd's like so pivotal? I know it was very pivotal for everyone. It was pivotal for myself, but you know, as a Black person, you have cases before that and you're like, those were impactful, but why was his so impactful to you?
You know what? I think I just reached my tipping point. You know, like we've seen so many of them, and they're happening in short amounts of time. And I just feel like the George Floyd one being so graphic, being the situation that he was in, I just said, you know what? Obviously, it was in the time of the pandemic, so I had a lot of time to think where I couldn't just distract myself from what was going on around me, because all we were doing was watching TV, and that's all we had is our homes. So it just emotionally, it just hit me different. I said, you know what? It's time to stop turning a blind eye to this stuff. Just because it's not happening to me doesn't mean that it's not affecting me in any way. So I just, Floyd is, it's all of them put into one. He was just a tipping point.
That's good. So Black is the new rich. What is something that you've learned from this podcast journey, or an episode that you've taken like some valuable information from?
Man, that's a tough question. I'm on episode, I'm like 64, 65.
Okay.
And honestly, I've had some amazing conversations. Like literally I just had a toxic expert relationship coach come on.
Okay.
And for me, that was different, because sometimes you don't understand the behaviors, that you're doing when you're in some types of relationships. I feel like that conversation was very insightful, because she taught me about the different types of love languages and how people react to certain things. And sometimes it's not about you, and maybe that's your love language, but that's not their love language. So you have to reciprocate like their love language and stuff like that, you know? So even though that conversation is not out yet, that's definitely one that was impactful for me, because I learned a lot.
That's good. Okay, so you made a post saying the other day, the only cost of consistency is your greatness constantly gets questioned and overlooked. I was like, wow, that's a bar. Talk to us a little bit about that.
Honestly, I just think of people let's talk about consistent people that we see every day right now. For example, LeBron James, he's been consistent throughout his whole career. He came from high school, right? King James, and yet he still gets bashed to this day. Oh, he's not the best, or he's not good enough because of this, or he's not da 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 da. Like, he is better than almost everybody that's ever played this game, and he can be at such a high level and still getting questioned to this day. So that's how that quote came about.
Yeah. Do you feel like you've been consistent enough for your greatness to be questioned?
I'll be very honest with you. I don't even care, to be honest. Yeah. I actually don't care. As long as I stay consistent, then I'm just okay with that, period. And whatever comes with that on the outside, that is what it is.
Okay. Yeah, listen, that's very true. You can't care in this game. You can't, because if you do, then you'll let you. Do I care about people questioning my greatness? Yes, in a way. Do I believe that I've been being consistent? Of course. But I care. I feel like that's, as a human being, you always want to know what people are saying about your content or what you're doing on a consistent basis. But if they believe it's great, as long as I believe it's great to myself, I don't believe that's something that I necessarily take into consideration. Just, I guess, how I could be better is what I would say.
100%.
Yeah.
And just to add on to that, I forgot where I heard this, but it was a saying like along the lines of, if you're for everybody, then you're for nobody. So no matter what you do in life, if you're catering to a specific target audience, there's going to be people that's not going to like you or like what you're doing or like how you're doing regardless. And you just got to be okay with that, have tough skin, suck it up, and believe in the higher power that this is your mission.
Oh, yeah. Because not everybody is going to see it.
Exactly.
Yeah. And a thing that's been big lately is it's only crazy until it happens.
Exactly.
Like, nobody believes it until it happens. So, you can't. And the thing is, that affect you.
Another thing too is that I learned over the years as I get older, no one's really supposed to see your vision at the beginning. It's Or I used to take that personal, but that's your vision. That's your mission that you got. So nobody's really supposed to understand it. That I learned that that's okay.
Okay, one more thing, and then we're going to move on. But this is another thing that I think is a real bar. Your mama didn't only tell you to keep your mouth closed while you're eating at the dinner table. You need to keep your mouth closed while you're eating in all aspects of life.
Yeah, facts.
Yeah, exactly. So do that. You can't care. Okay, so 500 people you've helped grow content creation wise. Can you help us out with three things we could do today in the content creation space?
Oh, that's pretty easy. Number one, above all, is know why you're doing it.
Okay.
I think that's a big one. Have a real purpose that comes from within, because if it's all just about, if it's only money driven, you won't last. Mm-hmm. It becomes to feel like a job. I would say number two, be consistent. At the end of the day, we all spend a lot of time scrolling, and you want to take up the most real estate that people see no matter what. So be consistent so you can always stick in people's minds. And three is just be yourself. Be yourself. Honestly, I believe in community building, and I believe in authenticity. And that's not being always positive. That's like, you know, sharing your losses too. So let people know that you're a real person and that you go through real things on a daily basis, and you'll see how your community builds, and then you'll see how they gravitate towards you.
That is good. Hopefully y'all took notes on that, because those are three good things. Okay, so for people who may have a job outside of doing content creation, you're an entrepreneur, right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so you get to devote a lot of your time to content creation. For those that may not have as much time, and I use that because people have time. It's what you want to make time for. But for those people who may have responsibility outside of trying to build what they're trying to build, how can they push their message forward?
The people that don't are limited with time. Unfortunately, you're just going to have to find some time. Mm-hmm. And if you push that message forward, I believe, like, you know, being intentional about allot yourself some hours so you can actually, like, maybe if it's recording yourself, it's recording yourself. If it's going to a networking thing, it's going to a networking thing. But just be intentional about the time you spend, about the message that comes out.
Most definitely. That's good. So building connections is super important in this game, especially to, you know, do what podcasters do. Having those connections are super important. So what connections have you made that have been super impactful?
Honestly, when it comes to the podcast, everybody that I had on the show, every podcast that I've done has been an equally important connection to me, because without the podcast, I wouldn't probably not talk to 95% of the people that I've interviewed. Mm-hmm. And I just, like, because they came with an expertise in their own field, that's super important.
Okay, that's good. So you have like a camp around you for Black is the New Rich. And I've seen that you guys like have gone to different events and people have invited you out. How has that been an important value, like having a support system, in other words, for your production?
Honestly, it's been great. I do need to get out more because I'm very introverted, to be honest. Like, I like to stay to myself. I don't really like to be out there too much. But every time I do go out, it's been great feedback. A lot of people come up to me and talk to me like, yo, I seen your show, I watched this, or I learned this. And those type of stuff, that's what keeps me going, to be honest with you. And then going out is just building new connections. And now it's just when I leave those places, my flaw, what I could get better at is keeping those connections and just checking once in a while, because I feel like I said, I'm introverted, so sometimes I forget those things.
Wow. Okay, speak to the introverts, you know, because I feel like people think that you have to be super extroverted to do anything content creation wise, or whether you're trying to be an influencer, doing podcasting, you know, like I said, connections are a big thing. And so you keeping those, or you even being willing to go out to connect with people can be a huge thing as an introvert. So speak to us about how that plays a role.
Yeah, no problem. So here's the thing with introverts, we're in 2023 now.
Yeah.
And because we're in such a digital age, I just believe, honestly, if you're introverted and you have a business, obviously you're an entrepreneur, and you're not trying to be outspoken when it comes to media and stuff like that, it's only going to hold you back. You're only going to miss out in life. And I know that. So that fear keeps me going and keeps me driven to do things in front of the camera. Because honestly, I believe introverts are very special people because we're people that observe a lot and say very little. So we have all this information stored. But in 2023, we just got to get in front of the camera to get it out.
Wow. Yeah. That's so true. You can't be scared, and you have to use it as fuel. At some point it becomes, do you want to be fearful and stuck, or do you want to have some level of success in whatever you're trying to achieve? And that doesn't mean that you always have to be in front of the camera. Maybe it's behind the camera, but making those connections to 100%. Get to your goal is the main goal.
Hold on. I know y'all are enjoying this show, but I just have to let you know, if you haven't already, if you're liking what you're hearing, like, comment, subscribe. If you're on YouTube, if you are on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, make sure you rate the show, share the show, tell a friend about the show, share, tap in with me on Instagram, Facebook, wherever you can find me, Dashari, or at It's a Perspective Podcast. Now back to the show.
I seen that you're a book guy.
Yes.
Can you give us three books that we should be on the lookout for?
My top three. I like the autobiography of Malcolm X. Okay. That was that's one of my favorite guys for sure. Mm-hmm. I like, for starters, if you're not really a reader and you just want to kind of get into reading and you want to pick up a book, mm-hmm. I would do The Alchemist.
Okay.
If you're on a self-healing journey and you want to, you know, go deep, take a deep dive within, mm-hmm. and you want to change certain things about you, I would do Think Like a Monk by Jay Shetty.
Wow. Okay, so what have those three books taught you about yourself?
Ooh, good question. Think Like a Monk taught me just to how to be more vulnerable, how to open up a little bit more, how to communicate better on what I'm feeling, how to just be a better person on an everyday basis. The mm-hmm. Alchemist, it's been a long time since I read that book, but it taught me how to start my journey and do it fearlessly. It was a long time, but that book always sticks in my mind somehow, some way, because that's a great starter book. Mm-hmm. The Malcolm X one, I was just so intrigued by his story because I don't think his story gets talked about enough. I think he's a very important piece to Black history that kind of gets swept under the rug. And just by understanding his story, I just felt more connected to his mission. And that's even what helps me run Black is New Rich today.
I was just about to ask that. So how has, you know, that been a parallel to you, you know, experiencing the George Floyd thing, but then reading the Malcolm X? I don't know if you read that before George Floyd's passing, or if you read it afterwards, and how that helped you in developing the concept for Black is the New Rich.
So Malcolm X and Nipsey are my two favorite people. And okay. I believe one of Malcolm's messages were to take care of our economics, right? Yeah. He was big on that. And I believe that's still true to this day. There's problems that he was listing back then that are still happening today that we haven't yet figured out. Mm-hmm. And I think just the controlling of our economics part is what drives back Black is the New Rich, really. Mm-hmm. I do want to see us be more intentional about spending with each other. I do want to see us more intentional about just doing business and doing things that matter with each other.
Yeah. You're on a progression of wealth building. So what are some processings processes that you're doing currently to help you on your wealth building journey?
Honestly, I'm still learning. Like, I'm still in the beginning stages of learning about just real estate stocks. I do have stocks now, so I'm super happy about that. My real estate portfolio hasn't started yet, but if I'm not sure if you know anything about Toronto, the prices are crazy. They're like New York prices right now. So it's a little bit expensive. I don't think I'll be investing here. But as long as I got my stocks started, so I'm happy about that. So I'm looking into like buying businesses and how to do that and different like seller finance deals and stuff like that, different terms like that. So that's what type of things that I'm researching right now.
That's good. How do you feel like the difference, what the difference is from living in Toronto? And I know you've been to America a few times, right?
For sure, for sure.
So what do you think that your advantage has been living in Toronto?
The advantage? That's tough.
Or disadvantage?
Yeah. Okay, here's the thing. In comparison to you guys, our Black population isn't as big. So I do think it's hurting Black is the New Rich a little bit. That's why this winter I'm going to be doing a lot of overseas. I'm going to be traveling out there to do more interviews, right? Because I feel like the States would eat up this name.
Yeah.
Right?
So no, for sure.
I'm going to test it out because our population, don't get me wrong, we have a lot of Black people, but it's just not as much as you guys have.
Right.
So that's a disadvantage for me.
Okay.
And it's home. I just feel like everybody that's successful has to leave home at one point. Like Drake has to leave Toronto. The Weeknd had to leave Toronto. Justin Bieber's from somewhere out here. He had to leave here for a little bit and I'll be next.
Hey, name it and claim it. I felt that. Yeah, but exactly. Definitely you will get much more, I guess, pumped up from the name itself. And I know that you have, you know, met some people who are doing big things in the podcast world, you know, Troy and Rashad and 19 Keys. I had the pleasure of, you know, kind of meeting them at like the podcast summit and
You went to that one?
Podcast summit?
Yeah, that was with David Chance.
Yeah, and I went to InvestFest just recently. And both of those events were amazing, had some amazing knowledge, and definitely the connections were unmatched. So,
okay, dope.
Yeah. So, definitely, I agree with that because I'm from a place, Oklahoma, that is not very populated with. We have a lot of, like you said, population of Black people, but the pocket that we have is not enough to push it the way you would want it to be pushed. And so, I definitely get it, but you have a talking point being from Toronto, as I do being from Oklahoma. So the whole point of this podcast is perspective. I believe perspective is everything. And I'm asking you what mindset shift you can make. So my mantra is change your mind to change your life. And so this question is, what mindset shift are you making or have you made to change your life?
Ooh, another great question. You're on fire today. I would say the biggest transformation that I've made is to think abundantly. I think I was thinking too small. And just because the people around me were like, I was kind of just measuring myself to the people around me and not what's actually out there. So I think when I started to think in abundance, or abundantly, that everything started to change. Like I don't worry about much anymore, you know. Like I believe, like, for example, if there's five content creators that live in my building, that's fine. There's so much out here for all of us. And that abundant mindset has honestly opened up so much doors for me.
Oh yeah. You have to think in a growth mindset, I like to call it, because if you surround yourself with things that you're comfortable with, you will remain comfortable. And I believe abundance requires a bit of uncomfortableness and getting outside of who you are a bit so that you can get to where you're going. So that's really good.
Wait, can I ask you a question?
Go for it.
When's the last time that you did something intentionally uncomfortable.
Ooh, intentionally uncomfortable. That's a good question because I feel like I've been doing some things as far as, but it's not been super uncomfortable. It's just been pushing myself to get to the level of success that I want to get to. So I guess in my podcasting journey, I have been just working extremely hard and I just graduated college.
Congrats.
23.
Congrats.
Yeah. And so I think something that's been a bit uncomfortable for me is grinding a little bit harder. Because sometimes you, I don't know if you know who Grant Cardone is. I'm sure you do. He's huge. Yeah. You have to 10X what you're doing in order to, you know, get to where you're going. And so I'm in the process of 10Xing everything. So that may be a little uncomfortable, but definitely since you asked that, I have to do something now within the company that is extremely uncomfortable. What about yourself?
The one uncomfortable challenge that I conquered, I did 66 days in a row waking up at 5 a.m.
Yeah.
That.
Why specifically 66 days?
Because I read the book by, I forgot the author's name, Robin Shorm, I believe. He has this book called The 5 a.m. Club. And he was just talking about the science about waking up early and meditating, doing a workout and reading at that time. And he said that at 66 days, it now becomes a real habit.
Yeah.
So I did 66 days in a row. It started off with a group of 12 where we're just DMing at 5 a.m. saying up. And the only person that got to the end of the 66 days in a row with me was my mom.
Wow. Ooh, that is what's up. Come on, mom, with the consistency. That's so good. So what did it teach you? And did you guys learn anything together? Did you ask some questions? I feel like that's so layered. You could take it so many different ways.
Yeah, that was a big transformation for me because I realized not only how much I can get done on the productivity wise, but just really going deep within myself to find myself who I am without any noise. That means no phone, no one's really up at that time. So you are only having conversations with yourself. So you can only see yourself at that time. And I just feel like it gave me a competitive edge on somebody that's working towards the same things I'm working on. Because in life, well, in North America, I believe we're all kind of chasing similar things. So what's going to the advantage over the next man? And I feel like sometimes waking up at 5 a.m. and someone else is waking up at 7 or 8, well, I got 3 hours on you, right? Yeah. And you compound that by the day, then you count how many hours that is by maybe 365 days. That's a lot more hours than someone that's, you know, waking up at 7, 8. So that's what it taught me.
How are you taking that with you now, or are you giving yourself a break to sleep in a little bit more?
So after I did it, I'll be very honest with you. I didn't slip into waking up late or anything because I've always been an early bird. I don't do it super consistent like that. Mm-hmm. So I'll do maybe 2 weeks of 5 a.m. and then I'll take a little bit of a break because sometimes it does get a little bit tiring and I like to be alert for my day. And sometimes it wasn't making me be the sharpest.
Okay, got it. Take us through a day in a life of Corey.
Ooh, you know, so I got ADHD, so my day is never the same, and I like it like that, right?
Yeah.
So let's say, I have a content day, okay? So, no, let's say I have a podcast day. So podcast day, I'm waking up at 5 a.m. I'm waking up out of bed doing 20 minutes of a workout, so I'll do, push-ups and an ab workout, right, just to get my blood flowing. And for the next 20 minutes, I'll be meditating and praying. And then for the remainder of the 20 minutes, I'll be reading a book, right? So my first hour is just dedicated to myself. And then after that, I'll go to the gym and I'll get another workout in and just kind of think about the questions that I have with my guests coming, so I can kind of manifest. I always, every interview I do, even this one, I'm like, yo, this is gonna be my best interview ever, right? So I kind of get myself pumped up. I already visualize myself asking the questions, and I do that while I'm working out. And then I'll come home, have my breakfast or whatever, and kind of just chill out, just, you know, take it easy, learn something. Because I'm an advocate learner, so I'm always learning. Yeah. So I'll probably do even more research, not only on the guests, but different topics. And I kind of like just manifest for that time to the podcast time. And then when it comes to the podcast time, then lights are on, then it's time to go. Then it's showtime.
Yeah. That's really good, because you're taking a lot of time for yourself and mentally getting yourself together. And 100%. I feel like that's huge, because I don't think people take their mindset serious. And listen, like I said, change your mind to change your life. That's super. Exactly. Like, you can't, if you're in the same mindset, or you're looking at it from the same point of view that you've always looked at it from, you're always going to see it the same way. But if you see it from how somebody else sees you, or from a bird's eye view, you can always change the way you view whatever circumstance you're going through, or simply your day in the life could change the trajectory of how your day goes, your week goes.
And think about it like this. Like, I show a lot of gratitude for the position I'm in, the country that I'm in, or because think about it, there's people on the other side of the world that don't even get this opportunity to do what we do. Right? Like, they're people that are going through wars right now. There are people that are walking outside that may be their last time, because they might get hit with a bomb. They might get hit with whatever. So, like, when I think about, like, problems, life and stuff like that, and myself, I'm like, yo, I'm living a luxurious life just by being here, just by being born in this country. I'm very lucky. So that mindset helps me, like, do more.
Yeah, you have to. If you take for granted the moment that you're in right now, it's not promised that you'll get the next. So, and it's extreme, and it's extreme to think that way, but you have to, in order to take life serious. You know, I feel like some people play with life a little bit too much, and then they don't get to the goals that they want to achieve and wonder why. So what does passion mean to you, and what does purpose mean to you?
Passion and purpose. I believe in some ways they're intertwined. I believe your purpose is your mission on this earth while we're however long that you're here. And when you are living that purpose, you have to do it with passion. Because if you don't do it with passion, then you're not going to live out your purpose. So they're kind of interconnected. And passion for me is like my life. Like, I'm a very passionate person, and I'm a very obsessive person to the things that I like to do in life. And I just believe that it's important to make change in life.
Yeah, that's good. That's good. I like to say that your purpose has to carry out the things that your passion can't sustain. So you can be passionate about several different things, but if you're purposed in that area, then it has to be able to weigh out the thing that you may not be passionate about.
100%. I agree.
Yeah. So I ask each guest that come on the show this question, because I feel like it can be very imperative to how it could help someone that is listening. What has been an unfair advantage to you? Something that has happened in the progression of you leveling up that was an advantage to you, but for someone looking on the outside, they wouldn't have achieved it because it was curated specifically for you. In other words, your favor not being fair.
Honestly, I think I touched on this 2 minutes ago. It's just being born in this country. That's an unfair advantage that we all overlook at sometimes. Yeah. Like, the fact that I can go to a gym, the fact that I can buy equipment for my podcast, the fact that I can have cameras to record these type of conversations, that's a privilege. I think that's a super unfair advantage. My parents and my grandparents, they didn't come from this country. So they grew, like, especially my grandmother, she's from Jamaica. So she didn't have all this opportunity that I have. So she came on a boat or a plane and came to this country, figuring out this new place at the time, right? I didn't have to do that.
Yeah.
Like, I'm born here. So I'm like well conditioned on how this country kind of works, where someone like that had to figure a whole new system and make these new friends and make different type, like, you know, bring brothers and sisters out here too. I don't have to do all that stuff. So I think just being born in this country is an unfair advantage that a lot of people overlook.
That's good. Being born where you are. Yeah, that's really good. So, okay, we're wrapping up here in a few more questions, but I want to know, what baton have you picked up and where are you going to carry it to, so that whenever your kids or your grandkids pick it up, they can take it even farther?
That's a great question. I talk about this with my friends all the time, actually. And just the fact that we have, like I said, an advantage of being born here and we have certain privileges, I believe I would like to see my children or my generations to come after me to take this to a level that where I couldn't reach, whether that's, I don't even know what that looks like, but just somewhere that I couldn't reach, that I could be, if I'm alive or not alive, that I could be somewhere looking down and be like, yo, wow, you guys did that. Like, you guys understood the mission. Because, for example, for my grandmother to give me the baton and then now taking it to where I'm going, she's already looking at me like, wow, Corey, like, you're really doing this. I see you on YouTube. Like, what is that? Like, she thinks I'm some big thing, right? So wherever my kids take it and where I couldn't imagine, that's a win. I can't even give you an answer of where that is, but if I can't imagine it and they take it there, that's a win.
So for yourself, you carrying the baton, where do you foresee? It could be something that is like very outlandish. Like you said, your vision, some people won't understand. I feel like wherever you take it will be just fine. But where do you foresee yourself passing the baton at in your life? What things do you feel like you'll accomplish where you feel like, okay, now I can pass the baton?
Well, to be honest, like for as far as Black is the New Rich, I do want to build a network like Revolt TV where we can have a bunch of Black shows under that umbrella. And it doesn't always have to be entrepreneurship. It could be just different, an array of shows. And just so we control our own media, because media is important. And I feel like media is one of those things that can be very toxic. And if we can control what we are showing our kids and our generations to come, then we'll be in a better place.
Yeah, that's good. Come on, Revolt. Black is the New Rich network. I heard that. Definitely build that in. And when you build it, you definitely got to let me know so you can come on and talk about it.
Yeah. Actually, after this, give me your mailing address and I'll send you some gear.
For sure, for sure. Definitely going to tap in and do that. So what do you have coming up next?
Ooh, good question. So in either October, I'll be in Houston for a little bit. So I want to be in Houston for a little bit just to see what the culture is like, because I've never been out there before, and because I have friends out there, and I want to knock down some interviews as well. And then I want to be out there in January and February. So I want to beat the winter here because it gets really cold. And again, I just want to see what the culture is like, and I want to be more in the community there because I feel like it's more Black driven.
Oh yeah, you're gonna enjoy it for sure. they go up out there. They're just
hearing.
Yeah, that's just the state directly underneath me. So yeah.
Okay, cool.
If you could leave my audience with one thing, what would you say?
Be authentic and be consistent. Because authenticity is so important, because I know this is cliche to say, but there's only one of you, and the world needs you and no more of someone else. And so that's why I'm big on authenticity. Whether some people think you're weird or some people don't like you, it doesn't matter. There will be a community of people that do like you and do need you and do need you to work hard and be consistent. So just be authentic and be consistent.
That's good. I like to say, if you aren't doing the cliche things and you keep hearing it over and over, it means that you haven't accomplished something in that cliche phrase or topic. You need to get on it, because the things that people say over and over, the people who are successful that keep saying the same thing over and over, maybe you need to take heed to it and do that first before you try to look for a deeper meaning that may not ever be there, because the cliche thing is the thing you need to do.
I agree.
So where can the people find you?
You can find me on a number of pages. If you want my personal page on Instagram, you can find me at CoreyCash.co. If you want to tune into the podcast, you can find me at Black is the New Rich on YouTube, Spotify, Apple Music, Google, whatever. I'm on all.
Yeah, that's what's up. Y'all tap in with Corey Cash. I have been enjoying, you know, tuning into Black is the New Rich, definitely, you know, seeing what he has coming up. And as he comes to, you know, the U.S. and starts to turn it up a notch for Black is the New Rich, you'll be seeing him everywhere. So if you tap in before then you can say that you are among the first. Corey, I've enjoyed this conversation more than you know. I would say keep your perspective, because it definitely looks good on you. Guys, we are coming back to back with the episodes. Please stay connected with myself. My name is Deshari. You can find me on Instagram, Facebook, wherever, all streaming platforms, at It's a Perspective Podcast or _Deshari_. I love y'all. Stay safe. Back for another episode. I'll see y'all soon. Peace.
Thank you.